Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, my name is Janice Tanel, and I'm your host of Beauty Talk for today, Sunday, September 29th. And our guest tonight is Ms. Crystal Haynes. But before we speak with Crystal, we are going to give you some beauty news. But let me remind you that the call-in number for tonight is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. Also, you can join us here on Blog Talk Radio in the Beauty Lounge, where my sister Denise will take your questions and your comments and get them on air. And you can also join us on Twitter, where Brandy is managing our tweet chat conversation. So you can use #BeautyLounge to get in on what's going on Twitter. So now I'm going to hand it over to Denise, who has some beauty news.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. I just briefly wanted to go over some information that I gave out last week, but we did have a bit of background noise going on last week, so it was kind of difficult for people to get the information. So basically, I wanted to go over the North American Hairstyling Awards for 2014, and that's being sponsored by PBA, the Professional Beauty Association, and it's taking place July 13th of next year at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. The entry deadline to enter for the North American Hairstyling Awards will be February 5th of 2014. And I wanted to go over some of the categories that were accepting submissions for the Hairstyling Awards. And those categories are as follows. We have avant-garde. They'd like you to submit your visionary work demonstrating new or experimental concepts in expressive cutting-edge hair. The entry should reflect good taste and aesthetically pleasing images. And they are accepting three images for this category on 1 to 3 models, and your images should all be unedited. So there's three unedited images on 1 to 3 models. Contemporary classic. Show off your skill with ready-to-wear commercial styles in hair cutting and finishing designed to complement the individuality of the model. Entrants should focus on updating a very classic look. And again, for this category, they're accepting three unedited images on 3 models. So you should have 3 models in the contemporary classic and 1 to 3 in the avant-garde. The next category is editorial stylist of the year. Submit your best published cover or editorial work. Work must be published in a consumer publication defined as a popular consumer media magazine available on newsstands, electronic or physical. Editorial entries submitted from industry publications will be disqualified. Let me repeat that again. Editorial entries submitted from industry publications will be disqualified. In addition to the standard NAHA entry form, editorial stylist entries must be accompanied by the editorial stylist entry information form signed by the publisher's editor. Download the form at probeauty.org/NAHA. They're accepting a maximum of 5 images on 1 to 5 models, tear sheets, and the editorial release form. Again, that's maximum of 5 images, 1 to 5 models, tear sheets, and editorial release form. The next category is hair color. Submit your three before and after designs, showing off your eye for the perfect palette and coloring techniques. All hair color must be performed by the stylist named on the entry form. No color manipulation of photography is allowed. Six images, three before and three after, three models, and three unedited images, and your hair color technical form. Next category, Hairstylist of the Year. Hairstylist of the Year is the most prestigious recognition as a North American hairstylist can attain. Submit your collection of diverse, creative, and versatile hair designs capturing the excellence and artistry of the industry. Entries from this category may be used in other categories, except Salon Team. And they're accepting submissions with five images, five models, and five unedited images. So again, there's five unedited images with five models. Makeup Artist of the Year. Makeup can make or break any look. Be proud that your work as a makeup artist completes the perfect photo shoot. Enter your most tasteful collection of work using your makeup skills to enhance beautiful hairstyling. While you don't need a hairstylist to nominate you or enter with you, all images must represent the NAHA fundamentals of world-class hairdressing. All products used must be professional. They're accepting three unedited images on 1 to 3 models for that category. Master Hairstylist of the Year. Invitation only. This category is designed to allow the biggest names in the industry to compete with one another. Entrants are top platform artists, educators, artistic directors, and previous hairstylists of the year. If you have been invited by NAHA to enter, submit five images of a collection exemplifying your best work. Photos from this category may not be used in other categories. Five unedited images on 1 to 5 models is accepted for that category. There are also categories for Men's Hairstylist of the Year, Newcomer Stylist of the Year, Salon School Design of the Year, Salon Master of Business Award, Salon Team of the Year, Student Hairstylist of the Year, Texture. So for more information on how you can enter the competition and for more information on the event itself, on the North American Hairstyling Awards itself at in Las Vegas, you can go to probeauty.org.
And I'm not sure if I heard you say this or not, but what was the date on that?
July 13th, 2014.
July 13th. Oh, okay. Okay, so they're just now, okay, I see.
Yeah, and the entry deadline is February 5th next year.
February 5th, okay. Cool. Okay, again, tonight we are speaking with Ms. Crystal Haynes. Welcome back to the show, Crystal.
Hi, how are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good. Well, you know, I think it was, I don't know if it was last Sunday maybe, we had you on the Beauty News segment and you were speaking about your product, which we'll talk about a little later, but we wanted to get you on to find out a little bit about who you are. So if you could just start off the conversation tonight by just talking a little bit, introducing yourself and talking a little bit about what inspired you to become a hairstylist and how you got your start being a hairstylist.
Okay. Again, my name is Crystal Haynes. I have been a professional hairstylist now for 15 years and unofficial hairstylist for about 25. I started braiding. I started braiding hair when I was about 11, and I started to get paid for it when I was about 13 years old. So I've been doing hair for a very long time. I did hair all through high school. I wanted to actually attend beauty school after high school, but I had good grades. I got accepted into quite a few universities, so I decided to go to college because everyone said, oh, you should go to college. So I went to college. I attended Cal State University, Long Beach. I'm from California. And I was there doing hair in my kitchen when I should have been in class. And I tried to stay focused, but hair was my first love, and eventually I had to just say, okay, I can't do this. So my the middle of my second year of college, I went to beauty school, and I got my license, and I've been doing hair ever since.
Wow. I've
been doing hair ever since. No other jobs, strictly hair from that point forward.
Oh, wow.
Now,
all that time, just hair.
Yeah.
Is anyone in your family a hairstylist?
No. No one is. I do everyone's hair, and I've been doing it for ever since I was little. I think I just started, you know, just how most girls, they play with dolls and they comb their hair and cut it all off. And I was just continuously getting dolls and cutting the hair and cutting the hair. And my mother would get so upset. But I knew that I was fascinated with hair at an early age. So I didn't have any inspiration from family. It was just something that I always was interested in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So when I went to beauty school, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you said it was your second year in college when you went to beauty school.
Uh-huh.
Did you continue on in college after you got your license?
You know what? I tried to do both, but it was really difficult for me to do both because I was working a job and I was going to school, college, and I was going to beauty school. So it got to be too much, and I had to make a decision, and I had to decide to do my, you know, follow my passion, which was hairstyling. So I stopped going to college at that point. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and,
okay. Wow.
Yeah.
So hair has been part of your life for a long time.
Absolutely, absolutely. I when I finished school, I worked at a couple of salons, and I opened my own salon. And actually, I was a salon owner for 10 years. And 10 years, and I enjoyed it a lot. I met a lot of great people, clients, stylists. It was a really great experience for me.
Now, where was your salon? Was it located in Los Angeles?
It was in Los Angeles County, in a city named Carson.
Okay, in Carson. Okay.
Like in the South Bay area. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What was it being a salon owner? Was it just you, or did you have other stylists working with you?
Well, throughout the years, my salon went through many transitions. Initially, when I moved in, it was a boutique salon. I just had three stations. And over the years, I expanded. And then I had 7 stations, which was really, really hectic. You know, it was really good to meet different stylists and learn from them and just see different things that you weren't doing. So that part of it was really great. But in the middle of that, I also was doing freelance work. I was doing fashion shows and photo shoots. So it was very difficult for me to maintain and keep control of what was going on at the salon while I was out doing freelance work. So I had to make a decision. And, you know, I decided that I would slow down on the freelance work and spend more time at the salon to make sure everything was running the way that it was supposed to be ran.
Mm-hmm.
So it was challenging, but, you know, I wouldn't trade the experience. It's just really something special about a hair salon. You share so much information, you know, with other women. You can be encouraging to other women, even women that you don't know. You know, someone may be having a bad day, and someone else's stylist or their client can talk to them and, you know, shed light on a different perspective about something that they may go through. And it's just, like, great, like something that you didn't even expect to receive. You're just going to get your hair done, and you leave out, you know, with a new outlook on a situation that you may have been going through. So that aspect of it and the sisterhood of it was really great. you know, that was one of the best parts of working with, you know, over the years, you know, I saw a lot of faces, you know, being
right.
there for 10 years, you know, so that part of it was one of the best parts of being a salon owner, those experiences. Yeah.
Now, I always ask hairstylists in particular this question because, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying, and you're talking about owning the salon and doing freelance work. And you said it was challenging. It always is.
Yes.
how do you find balance? And I guess sometimes the ultimate outcome is you make a decision. I'm going to have one
yes.
or the other. But while you're trying to work them both, how did you balance it all? And then also, how did you maintain your clientele?
Okay. Well, one of the stylists, whether she worked at my salon or she went somewhere else, I just trusted her. Our work was very
mm-hmm.
similar, and my clients mm-hmm. knew her because she, you know, she was my friend first. We actually went to college together, and we both decided we went to the same college, met in college, and we both had that same, you know, drive to do hair, and we both left and went to
okay.
the same beauty
okay.
school. But she's actually the person. There was one person that I trusted, and that's who I sent my clients to when I, you know, had to go out of town or if I was on set for something. And then I just came back, and I trusted her, you know. So when I came back, it was like we didn't miss a beat. But at the same time, if she was busy, you know, then my clients would have to wait, and they were pretty supportive and patient. I have really supportive and patient clients. But at the same time, at some point, they're like, okay, I need my hair done. And if you're not available, I have to get it done somewhere else. And if the person that I trust is not available, then they go somewhere else. Luckily, they always come back. I've
right.
been really fortunate. Yeah, I have clients that I've had since beauty school that I still do today. So I do appreciate the ones that stay loyal. And as you said at the top of the show, I also launched a product line. I added yet another thing to the mix. So it is hard to balance everything. And at some point, you know, I guess there are some people that can just do it all, and I take my hat off to them. But I'm the type of person that I have to give what I decide that is really important to me, I have to give that my complete focus. And so
right.
those, you know, that is what made me, because I've actually, it's so ironic that we're having this conversation. I just closed my salon after 10 years last week.
Oh, wow.
And it was, yeah, it was painful. But again, you know, you make a decision on what you're going to deem important at that time. And I think that it's important to put your all in it. And for my product line, it was very demanding, so I had to make that decision, so I closed my salon.
Yeah.
So the balance part, you know, I did the best that I could, but at the end of the day, I had to make the decision because I wanted to stay true to the quality of my work and the quality of the brand that I'm trying to build. So that's what was best for me.
Right.
So how do you accommodate those clients who you've been doing for so long who may still want their hair done? Do you pass them on to someone else or?
Well, I do have a good tip for stylists. Never burn bridges. Always leave on a good note. One of the first salons I worked at when I finished beauty school, I'm actually back there renting a chair from her. And I go there to do my clients. And it's really cool because it's so nostalgic because I was there and we had a really good relationship. And I left simply because my career was taking another turn. And we kept in touch with each other over the years. So when I came back, and we actually just had a conversation about it when I was telling her, she actually purchased some of my products to resell.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling her, I was like, I am so stressed and I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it all. And she was like, well, you know, you're more than welcome. If you decide to let it go, you're more than welcome to come back here. And I actually thought about it. And, you know, the line, thank goodness, is doing really well, is getting more demanding for me. And I did actually take her up on her offer. So that is something that I'm so fortunate of, you know, being a good stylist, paying my booth rent on time, being courteous, and now I'm actually back there, and it's so funny. This literally, I believe, the third salon that I worked at after I got my cosmetology license.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it was, I was lucky.
What was the hair industry like when you first started, when you got your license and first actually started, you know, doing hair professionally?
Okay, well, weaves were kind of at the height of popularity. We didn't have the technology as far as, like, the lace front. Well, they had them for femme, but as common, mm-hmm. you know, stylists and clients, those things weren't available to us. Things such as closures and the lace front edges and even some of the other newer techniques of applying extensions. But traditional hair weaves were very popular. And I'm very into transformation. That's one of the things that drives me as a stylist. So I was really into hair weaving simply because you can cut it short, but their mm-hmm. natural hair is still long underneath. Or if their hair is short, you can make it long. It was very fascinating to me. And I actually was fortunate to work with a stylist who is still working in the industry right now. She works on TV. And I watched her. I watched her every day when I went to work. And she was so, so knowledgeable about the things that were coming out, like weaving. We actually had to close weaves up. You know, we didn't have closures. We didn't have any of the special things there are today to make the look polished. So I guess I'm pretty old school in comparison to the new stylists coming. And we didn't have social media. Uh-huh. So we really had to let our professionalism and our work be the driving force to obtain new clientele. You know, all we had was our business card and what work we put on our clients. So my clientele was strictly built on word of mouth. Whereas today, you know, you can do a style, post it on one of the social websites, and someone may see it and make an appointment. So it was much more difficult for us to grow and retain a clientele more so than it is now. That's one thing for sure.
Right. Yeah. And, of course, now you have everything. Not only do you have the Internet, but then you have all of your social media outlets where you can show hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pictures. And, again, just pictures alone says a lot when it comes to hairstyling. So it's easier to market.
Right. I'm sorry. I was going to say that we even websites were not as commonplace as they are now. So
exactly.
We really had to hustle. We had to hustle. We had to treat our clients well so that they would, you know, go and say, you know, I had a really great experience with this person. She did a really great job. You know, now it's like you're going sight unseen. All you've seen is the picture, you know. So it's different. Is different, and especially even with communicating with a client, you know, you would talk on the phone, ask what they like, ask what they don't like, are you allergic to anything, you don't have an actual consultation, whereas now a lot of clients are just going to the person based on that picture. They're, you know, conversating via text or just Instagramming back and forth. You know, it's kind of, I'm not knocking technology because I'm actually embracing it myself, but at the same time, there was a certain level of more integrity, I believe, when you had to actually have a conversation with that person and make sure that you understood what they were expecting and they could hear your voice. And, you know, I just think it was more intimate than it is now.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Definitely more intimate.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to a young stylist now, these days, who may come to you and say, "Hey, I really love to do hair. I'm considering going to cosmetology school, but you know, I want to go to college as well, you know. And then I also mm-hmm. want to open up my own salon, pretty much what you did.
Uh-huh.
What kind of advice would you give them? Or especially if there's one who's kind of struggling between I'm going to college, but I really love hair and I want to go to cosmetology school and open up a salon. What kind of advice?
Okay, well, it's kind of ironic that, again, that you would ask that question because now that I do have a product line, I was a business major in college.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, I since I've now closed the salon, I'm going to go back to school to get my degree.
Okay.
I just think that it's, you know, a natural transition of having a business, and I had started a business degree, so it's just best to go ahead and finish it. I'm sure it would be beneficial in what I'm trying to, you know, build right now. But when I was in high school, I really wanted to go, and I listened to what everyone told me. So, you know, I left college to go to beauty school, and I had student loans because I had, you know, went to school and I needed to pay for the things I needed to pay for when I was there. So I would say, you know, if you know in your heart you really want to do it, I would say go straight mm-hmm. to beauty school. Because if you can go straight through, you can finish it in like a year. So if mm-hmm. you still want to go to college, you can go to college, but then you don't have to work a random job like at, you know, the mall or at a fast food restaurant because you've actually completed your cosmetology license. So you can do hair as you go to college, which will help pay for it. And because doing hair is so much more flexible, you mm-hmm. can, you know, it's just because when you have a job, sometimes it's very difficult to work around your school schedule. Whereas if you are a cosmetologist, you can make your own schedule. So I really think that that's what I should have done. I should have.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I. That's the advice that I would give someone, to just go ahead and go to cosmetology school, finish it, and then if you still want to go to college, you can do them both. You
right.
can do hair
right.
and go to school. Uh huh.
Makes good sense.
Mm-hmm.
And you spoke a little bit earlier about doing freelance work. How is that different from your work in the salon?
It's completely different. I didn't do as much freelancing as I wanted to because, again,
mm-hmm.
I had to make the decision about making sure that my salon was taken care of. And then also I have two children as well. So
okay.
One of the major differences is in the salon, it's more technical. You know, you're pressing hair, you're relaxing hair, you're doing haircuts, and you're doing the work to suit the client. Whereas when
okay.
you're doing freelance work, I did a lot of photo shoots for designers and fashion shows. So the difference for me is having to tap into your own creativity and trust
mm-hmm.
yourself that your creativity is going to give the client what they want if they haven't given you any direction. So a lot of times
right.
I felt like salon work was harder than editorial work. You know, editorial work for me, you can just kind of go. Whereas at the salon, it's like, okay, I really need you to make sure my edges are straight, and I want my part on the left, and I want you to curl it like this and that. And I'm like,
right,
okay.
Right.
You know, so that's one of the major differences. And then also the feeling of being free. You know,
mm-hmm.
there had been times in my career where I got there in the morning, didn't leave until night. You know, my clients would bring lunch to me, so I really didn't see day turn into night. You know, just being there all day and all night, whereas with freelance, I have had long hours, and I know you guys have had them too, but
mm-hmm.
you can step out, you can step away for a minute, whereas sometimes your clients can be very demanding. I have this event. I have to be there at 7, or I'm going out of town. So I need, you know, so it's much more, in my opinion, it was much more stringent
right.
than freelance work for me. Yeah.
So a freelance, a hairstylist, a salon owner, and now a product owner. Tell me a little
yes.
bit about you know, why you decided to create the Luke's Therapy hair product line.
Okay. Well, you know, again, like I said, I do a lot of hair weaving and hair extensions. And one of the major issues with them, and has been since they became popular, is the inability to get to your scalp. And, you know, over the years, we've, you know, now we're using antiseptics and things like that, but the buildup that gets under the braid, it just, it creates a horrible situation when it's time to remove the weed. It itches. It blocks the follicle from breathing. That was a major issue for me. And one of my clients, I don't know if I told you guys this when I was on before, but I'll say it again. One of my clients was using one of those metal-tipped combs.
Uh-huh.
And she was using it to scratch under her weave. And she was coming in every 2 weeks to get the maintenance that, you know, I could give her. I could shampoo it the best that I could. But if it's, you know, a braid and her hair is really thick, so the braids and then the net and then the hair, it was still difficult for me to get under it. So she was using a rat tail. We call it the rat tail comb, but it's a metal tip comb. And she was using it under her weave to scratch. So she came in one day and she was like, "It's really sore." It had only been in 2 weeks. And I was like, "Was it sore as in braid tension?" And she was like, "No, it's sore like, you know, I've been scratching it and it's sore." But she had already invested in the hair. She had invested in the application of it, and she didn't want to take it out. So I was still treated. I would put antiseptic in it. But that's pretty much all that I could do because I was limited. I didn't have anything to get under. You know, I couldn't see it because it was covered, and so she kept the weave in. So when we finally took the weave out, we had found out that she had an infection under there.
Oh,
and
wow.
So, yeah. So she went to a dermatologist, and she had scratched her scalp so much that she had created a sore. And so because it was under the weave and she continued to scratch it and scratch it, it became infected. So, yeah, it's growing back now, but she had to take the weave out. She had to use medication. She was very worried. I mean, at the top of your head, that's the worst place to experience because it's more difficult to cover it. So I was like, this is ridiculous. You know, we joke about it in the salon, but I've had clients tell me that they use, you know, they'll unfold a bobby pin, they'll use a writing pen, a chopstick, a little thin screwdriver, the metal tail comb. What else have I heard? I'm serious. One of my clients said that she was using, you know how when you go to the to a seafood restaurant and they give you the plastic tool to open the crab?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
She was using that. It was ridiculous. I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. It has to be something better. So I looked at other lines. I searched the internet, talked to other stylists, and asked them, you know, what are you guys doing? We really need a way to clean the scalp underneath the hair extension. So there was nothing. And so I sat down one day and I was like, you know what? What would work? And I was like, okay, well, it would have to be curved so that it would slide under, you know, and it would fit the curvature of the head so it wouldn't stick through the weave or the braids when you're trying to get it in. The teeth would have to be spaced out enough so that when you slide it in, it won't snag the braids. You know, just thinking all these things, you know, from sewing in weaves all these years, what would possibly work? So I just sat down, drew something, had it made, and so I came up with the Luxe Therapy Scalp Soother. And once I did that, I realized, you know, I don't know as a professional too many product lines that market themselves to women who wear hair weaves and hair extensions. You know, there's a lot of products out for women who are natural, but a lot of there are a lot of women that wear hair weaves, and they are natural underneath, but they still need something to treat the scalp. So that's when I just started to think some more about what would work, what would I do, and that's pretty much how the line came to be. It was just really, I felt out of necessity because I actually did look for something on the market that could, you know, help solve some of these problems, and I just couldn't find anything. So that's how Luxe Therapy was started.
Now, that, what did you call it, the
Lust Therapy Scalp Soother?
Scalp Soother. Okay.
Uh-huh.
The Scalp Soother, you can also use that without having a weave, correct? I mean,
you can. When I made it, I made it for that reason. But now that it's on the market, I get emails from bloggers and, you know, I've read so many reviews about how people use it. They use it to style their hair. We use it to shampoo, whether you have a weave or not, because it stimulates the scalp. It helps to bring the blood up to the scalp to fortify the follicle. You know, you bring the blood up, that helps with the circulation. So that's
right.
One of the ways it's being used. I really love how the natural girls use it to style their twists, because the teeth are spaced out enough so that they can still fluff it and keep the wave in that they've put in, whether it was Bantu knots or their natural twist. I have stylists that use it when they're blow drying. They use it as a clip. They'll take the hair and put it in a knot and just stick the comb through it, and it'll hold the hair up as they blow dry the section. I have stylists that use it when they're doing a chemical or color, because when it's very difficult to rinse, especially long hair, it's really difficult to rinse the hair at the bottom, at the nape area. So because the soother is curved, if you slide it under the head while you're shampooing, you can use it to comb through the hair and not even touch the scalp, because the curvature fits the curvature of the head when it's laying down in the bowl. And you can detangle as you rinse the conditioner out with it. There's so many ways to use it, and I'm just really fortunate that, you know, people are so creative, and they're like, no, it's not just for weaves. We use it for this, we use it for that. So I'm so happy. It's really great. It's really
great.
Well,
you know, that's a good thing, you know, that
definitely
found other uses for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about the entire line. What other products do you have?
Okay. Currently on the line, I have two shampoos and two conditioners. I call the revitalizing shampoo and conditioner, which is more of a cleansing shampoo,
mm-hmm.
and the conditioner is more of a stimulating. It has tea tree and menthol, so it gives you that cool feeling. And then the other shampoo and conditioner on the line is the Restore, and it is a conditioning shampoo and a protein treatment. The Restore is really good for women to use after they've removed their hair extensions, because
mm-hmm.
they've been under there all that time. Once you take the weave out, you're going to experience some tangling. So it's really good to do a protein treatment to help, you know, rejuvenate the hair, help put the protein back into the hair. So that's really good for that. The revitalizing, back to the first two I mentioned, they're really good for the artificial hair, the weave hair. It helps clean
uh-huh.
it without drying it. It leaves a bit of moisture in the hair, but it does cleanse it very well. So it gets rid of the buildup, and it's really good for the scalp. And then one of the other products, which is my favorite product of the line, aside from the scalp soother, is called the Follicle Food Scalp Treatment. And basically what it is, it's an antiseptic slash treatment. So it has
mm-hmm.
antiseptic properties like witch hazel. It has a little alcohol in it, because those are antiseptics. When you're wearing those braids and you have that net on top and all those tracks with the closure on top, you need to clean the scalp. So the way that the bottle is designed, it is designed so that it goes directly to the scalp to apply it there, so it doesn't dry the hair out. And one of the other reasons that it doesn't dry the hair out is because it has essential oils in it. And the essential oils that I chose were spearmint, peppermint, and eucalyptus. And it has biotin in it, which is also good for hair and scalp. It helps with growth. It helps give that follicle that extra support that it needs. And niacin is, it creates stimulation. So you actually feel the scalp tingle because it's bringing, it acts as what's called a vasodilator. So it brings
mm-hmm.
the blood up to the scalp to nourish the scalp. And it has antioxidants in it. I have red tea and pomegranate antioxidants. So it's just a really great product. It helps after you get a weave. I know stylists, myself included, we try to be really careful with the edges, but sometimes you do experience the extra tightness around the edges. The vitamins and the antioxidants and the essential oils help to soothe the areas that pull. Sometimes people experience, like, white bumps. That helps soothe that. It also helps with itching because with the scalp soother, you have to wait at least 7 days because all stylists braid hair different. We use different tensions, and it's very hard to tell someone when their weave gets loose enough to use it. So I say 7 days, at least a week, so that you'll give your follicle some time to retract. But in the meantime, you can use the follicle food because it just drops, and it drops right in there, and it cools it and it soothes it. And it helps with low-density hairlines, the thinning that you experience also around the edges. So that is a really great product, and you can use it anytime. So that's the follicle food. And the other, I have two more products, the essential complex vitamin, which is a hair vitamin, and then the Butter Treat leave-in conditioner, which is also a really good treatment filled with vitamins and antioxidants to help treat the artificial hair and your braids underneath. So that's pretty much what the line encompasses. We're adding things to it, but right now those are the staples of the line right now.
So what I'm hearing the last few minutes of this conversation, you're talking about you know, when we're talking about the weaves, and you're talking about soothing the scalp. And then it sounds like you created the scalp soother, you know, for the purpose of weave, you know, those who have weaves. And then all of these products sound like they are products designed to treat particularly the scalp.
Right,
if
right.
I'm hearing you correct. Okay.
Yes. Yes, they're because scalp health, if your scalp isn't healthy, your hair is not going to grow healthy.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I'm just wondering, because you know, the scalp soother was created for the weaves, and your products are particularly for the scalp, is that something that people have a lot of issues with their scalp when it comes to those who wear weaves? I mean, are a lot of people complaining about their scalps?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, what happens, what I've experienced happen as long as I've been a stylist, people, you know, the stylists out are great, and they're doing these really pretty styles, pretty colors with the artificial hair, and people are getting so used to how they look with the weave that they don't care anymore about their natural hair. And a lot of times they let it go so far that they get to a point where they can't wear their natural hair. You know, all of my clients, knock on some serious wood, they can take their weave out if they want to and just wear their natural hair. So that's really important to me. I think we've lost sight. A lot of my clients came to me like, I just want to grow my hair out. So I'll get a weave and grow my hair out. And then their hair grows out, and now it's long like they wanted it to be. But the weave is so easy. It's so convenient.
Right.
And I tell them, that's fine, but you still need to treat your scalp. You still need to treat the hair because, you know, if artificial hair became illegal in the world, what are you going to do? So it was really important. Could you imagine? Could you imagine there being no more weave hair? But it was important for me to come up with a maintenance line to basically for the hair that's being sewn in as well as your natural hair. And scalp problems have always been an issue with weaves. No one just talks about it. No one addresses it. Everybody's weave itches. And I just think it's important to treat the scalp. You know, we're beating ourselves in the head, trying to alleviate the itch. You know, and a lot of times it's just build up that if your stylist or, you know, uses the shampoo and the scalp soother when you come in for your maintenance and fluffs all the dead cells and build up off your scalp, it won't itch as much, you know. So that's my goal, and that's why I designed the line this way. And all the products are vegan in the line. So anyone can use Lux Therapy. It's just as I was designing everything, I was designing it for those, I think, who have been forgotten, or they've actually forgotten that this is important for them.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Right. Give me, like, some, share some of your weave care, hair tips.
Okay. I'll just give you the regimen that I give my clients.
Okay.
3 months is absolute max. It has to come out. You need to come in to see me at least every 2 weeks. You know, now my clients are familiar with the line. You need to use the follicle food around your hairline and in your crown. Women who wear weaves tend to lose their hair those places the fastest. So the follicle food is not, you know, a magic trick. It's just giving you the support that you need while you're pulling. You know, you're wearing all this heavy hair, you're pulling at the roots. This just helps put some more, you know, vitamins and protective products back onto the scalp. So that's important. So it's important to
repeat that one more time. Use the follicle food on your hairline.
The follicle food scalp treatment around the hairline and in the crown is the most.
Okay.
The areas that are, you know, more from my experience as being a stylist, when women thin, they send those places the fastest.
Gotcha.
That seems to go first. So those are the places on the head that I really believe we should be more mindful of as far as, like, treating and being gentle to. So, but the shampooing and cleaning the scalp is one of the most important things, in my opinion. And at night, sleep on a satin pillowcase or a satin scarf. Some people like silk. I prefer satin because of the slip. And ponytails, being careful not to pull it in really tight ponytails. And that's pretty much it. Those would be the things I think are most important. You know, just not getting a weave and just forgetting about your hair underneath.
Right. That's important.
Yeah.
Now, give me a couple of your hair care tips that you can share for all hair types. And not this is not necessarily for those using weave.
Okay. The same thing applies. I think, you know, you need to shampoo your hair at least every 2 weeks. I say once a week is good. Once a month, you need to do a deep protein conditioner. And whenever you put protein in the hair, you should follow up. If the protein treatment that you're using is not balanced with moisture, then you should use a deep conditioner after the protein treatment as well. You don't want to harden the hair, and too much protein can make your hair hard and also break it. So what you're actually trying to do to repair it, you can be damaging it from that.
Right, right.
Never go to sleep with hair that's wet. That can create tangling. Trims. I'm big on getting your hair trimmed. If you're wearing your hair natural, you should get your hair trimmed at least every 6 weeks. A little bit more often is better than a couple of inches in like 3 months, because then you're crying like, oh my gosh, she's cutting on my hair.
Right.
I think it's best just to get trims more frequently, and then your stylist will only have to cut just a little bit, but it keeps it healthy that way, and it keeps the weight, you know, it keeps your hair from looking thin as it grows out. So I think those would be important things to note. Yeah.
Very nice. Let me ask you, what are you expecting out of your career as a hairstylist? What are you expecting to achieve or to receive?
Well, it's interesting. I thought, at first I thought I just wanted to have a whole lot of clients and make a lot of money. And then when I got to that point, I was like, I just want to have time to spend the money that I'm making. And then I was like, and I want to do hair for TV. And then I was like, but I also want to raise, you know, raise my daughter's will and make sure that I'm able to be there for them, you know, PTA meetings, things like that. So I had to make a decision in regards to that, and I chose being a good mom. And so now that I've, you know, closed the salon and I'm working on making Lux Therapy, you know, a very popular brand among stylists. I really want them to, you know, share my same philosophy that just because the weave is cute doesn't mean that you just forego the natural hair underneath. So
Right. What
I would like to get out of my career, because weaves are not going anywhere, like I said, unless the government bans all hair, artificial hair sales, they're not going anywhere. So
Right. I
want Luxe Therapy to grow and be a product that stylists, you know, are proud to use on their clients and share my philosophy about scalp care and hair care, and eventually grow the brand into encompassing other things like maybe, you know, body care,
mm-hmm.
you know, from that point. Interesting. I maybe about 8 years ago, I would make shower gels and body scrubs for my clients as gifts. I just liked to do it. And so I would make, you know, oh, well, can I have some? And so I would make it and sell it in the salon, but I was so busy that I couldn't continue to make them because I was making it by hand. So now that I do have Luxe Therapy, maybe soon, once I get, you know, the goal of the line, which is the hair care and scalp care, I can move on to doing skin, you know, maintenance products for your body again. So we'll see how it goes. But my goal is to grow Luxe Therapy into a very successful brand with integrity.
Right. Exactly. Uh-huh. I like the sound of that one. you know, you just mentioned, you know, you want hair stylists to really, really pay attention to this product and use this product. What are some of the things that you're doing, or what are some of the ways you're going about getting the attention of other hairstylists?
Well, I am now pretty active on social media. So I'm contacting them that way. I've been sending product out for beauty bloggers, and thank goodness the feedback has been excellent. And I have quite a few celebrity endorsers that talk about the product, and they've taken pictures with it. Like, I guess this thing is to take a picture with the scalp soother and send it to me, which is really cool because I have all these pictures now of people, you know, they have it. They have a cute little pose with it, or they have it in their head, so that's really cool. So pretty much just trying to – and then also I've sponsored quite a few beauty events to get the information out that way. And I've been featured in Hypair magazine twice, which has been a blessing. In Juicy magazine, so it's and these have been just articles. I haven't done any advertising yet, so I'm really fortunate to really fortunate to have people just like the product enough say, hey, you know, I want to support it, and I'll say something nice about it just because I really like it. So. That has been a blessing, and I'm very fortunate for that. I just did a sponsorship for a fashion show last night, so they received the product in their gift bags, and I've already been getting, you know, hits on Instagram like, oh, I love it. My friend wants to buy one. You know, how can she get it? So I'm glad that people are embracing it and that this was something to help solve a problem.
Right. Well, I haven't tried any of the other products, but I have tried the scalp soother, and it is awesome. And I'm guilty of using those rat tail combs and things like that, but not quite often, because those things hurt.
They do hurt.
Yeah, that scalp soother is definitely the way to go. It gets the job done, and it's, you know, it doesn't feel bad at all.
Yeah, thank you. I really made it from a stylist perspective as well as a client. I wear hair extensions. I wear weaves a lot myself. And I just really thought about it, like, before I even started to make anything, I just thought, what would work? How could this work? Mm-hmm. How could I make something that won't mess up the weave, or, you know, so I'm glad that you enjoy it. I'm just glad that I haven't heard anything bad yet.
Right.
So that's a good thing.
Right. Absolutely. Do you think that, I mean, I know you said you haven't heard anything bad yet, but do you think that you would ever make changes to that scalp soother in any way? Just perfect it even more?
Well, there are a few things that I would like to change. I may change the handle. May make it shorter so that it's easier to carry in the purse, although some people still carry it in their purse. Yeah, we actually just had a focus group like 2 months ago, and I had 20 women there and asked them, you know, what would you do? If you had the opportunity to change it yourself, what would you change? And everyone said the color. As far as how it felt, they were fine with how it felt. They were fine with the material of it, but the number one thing was the color, and it is green. And the reason that it is green is because it is a part of the Lux Therapy line, and the Lux Therapy line, like I said, is vegan. So vegan is green. Lux Therapy soft soother is green.
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of like, why is it green? But until you see the whole line and you learn the philosophy behind the line, then it makes sense. But what I'm actually thinking about doing, because I have, you know, so many women like, oh, I want a pink one. Oh, I want this, that I may actually take the scalp soother and make different colors in the future.
Okay.
So that's, as of now, that's been the only complaint.
Right.
Yeah, but I
well,
I
you know,
to
people are
going to
always want
to
make.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, I was just saying people are going to always complain about color.
Yeah, because everyone wants it their favorite color. You know, I'm, my name is Crystal, so if I had my way, mine would be clear with rhinestones in it.
Right.
You know, but yeah, but that is why it is green, and so. You know, hopefully in the future, we'll go ahead and do other colors for those that want other colors. So,
give me all of your, tell me where you are on social media so I can put that out there.
Okay. My Facebook is Lux Therapy Hair Products. My Twitter is Lux Therapy. My Instagram is Lux Therapy. Those are the only three that I'm on right now. Everyone's saying you need to do Pinterest. So maybe that'll be coming soon. But right now, those are the three that I'm active on currently. And the website is luxtherapy.com. And Lux is spelled with an E. So it's L-U-X-E therapy.
E, right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I just want to make sure we get that information out there. And our last question for the night, this hour went by too fast.
It did,
but, what is beauty to you?
Beauty to me is feeling confident about yourself. Whatever it takes, without hurting anyone or hurting yourself, but whatever it takes for you as an individual to feel your best, that's what beauty is to me. You know, everyone has different things that they do to themselves to make themselves look beautiful, but it's just what you do to yourself, the things that you feel are necessary to feel your best. That's what I think beauty is.
Oh, nice. I love that.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you.
I hope it doesn't sound too cliche, but I really mean it.
Right. And, you know, there's no right or wrong answer, but I really like that answer.
Okay, good.
Really like that answer. Well, thank you so much, Crystal, for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. I wanted to get you back on soon after you did the beauty news segment because I kind of felt like people should know a little bit about you, even though you introduced to us last week your product.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted people to know a little bit about the person behind the product.
Okay,
so
well,
I really appreciate
I certainly...
you joining us.
And I appreciate it, too. And you guys do the best interview. I wasn't nervous. It was just like a really great conversation with sisters. And I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you so much. We were happy that you felt comfortable. You sounded very comfortable. So thank you so much. And for those of you out there who are listening to the show, if you like tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite. right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can join us on our Facebook page right after the show. And then, Crystal, if you have a few minutes to jump online and join us on our Facebook fan page to answer any more questions, feel free to do so. We'll be out there for a few minutes just chatting. And it's Beauty Talk Online is the page on Facebook. So for those of you who, again, who like tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite here on Blog Talk Radio. You can join us on our Facebook page and leave any comments or questions. Be sure to join us next Sunday night, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. And our guest will be celebrity manicurist Kimmy Keys will be here with us next week. So stay tuned. Tell everybody else about Beauty Talk and join us again here next week. Have a good night and have a beautiful and blessed week. Bye-bye.
Have a good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Crystal.
Bye-bye.